I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few moments, we'll check in with a former top Clinton administration official who also advised candidate Barack Obama. He'll tell us why he thinks President Obama's approach to overhauling health care needs a reboot. But first, we have more on pop music legend Michael Jackson. Since his shocking death Thursday, fans, media, and legal and medical authorities are continuing to question why the 50-year-old singer-songwriter died so suddenly and with no apparent warning. A report from the Los Angeles Coroner's Office did little to unravel the mystery. A 3-hour autopsy was inconclusive, and officials say the results of additional tests would likely take weeks. But Jackson's family has asked for a private autopsy to be done as well. This was communicated through longtime family friend, the civil rights leader, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's known Michael Jackson and his brothers for years. Reverend Jackson has spent much of the weekend with the family, and he joins us now. Thank you, Reverend. Thank you so much for being with us during such a difficult time.
And thank you.
You're concerned that the doctor who was with him at the time of his death did not reach out to the family. They find that disturbing.
Which would have been so ordinary. How long had he been unconscious? How long had he stopped breathing? When did the doctor return? Did they have a meeting together before he went to sleep? Did the person on the phone, who was a mystery person this time, did he call the doctor? Did he come back from someplace, or was he already there? We don't know the answers to these questions, and so while it is premature to be accusatory, it's not premature to be curious as to why all these gaps between his going to bed seemingly in relatively good health. I know the last month or so Michael had a physical exam, was in good shape, so much for the rumors about his being unhealthy. He was 3 hours a day doing exercise under supervision. Though the dancers said at 50 he was out dancing them at 25, and he was ebullient about the fact he'd sold out so quickly in London and Asia, and the USA was awaiting, so that meant he was going to have the resources to sustain his catalog, which he prized and thought to be so important. I was a part of an advisory group working with him and his lawyers on maintaining his catalog. So he was balancing, you know, his show business with his entrepreneur business, but all was on the up. And then, of course, the sun was eclipsed on Thursday.
Do you have any sense of the findings of the second autopsy?
No, I think that those findings would be inconclusive at this point. But, you know, Michelle, the family hardly had a chance to mourn or to move toward closure because this glass is in the wound. You would think ordinarily a doctor would convey to the parents rather quickly the last hours of their son's life or a struggle for life, or maybe talking with the coroner on that day, or would have signed the death certificate, but none of that happened. And then, of course, his car was impounded, and he finally showed up with a lawyer. These are very suggestive and puzzling circumstances, and that's why the second autopsy, an independent autopsy. They simply want to know what happened in the last hours of their son.
There have been conflicting reports, forgive me, but there have been conflicting reports about prescription drug use. We've heard over the weekend very different perspectives on this. From your own personal relationship with Michael Jackson and with his family, do you have any insight on this? Do you believe, was his family concerned about his use of prescription drugs? Were you?
Well, I never saw it, number one, so I can't really speak to that. The issue is, was this self-induced or was it doctor-induced? We don't know until the doctor talks and talks quickly. The longer there is this outstanding gap, people fill in the gaps, Michelle, with their imagination. And we do a concrete expression of what happened so as to demystify and take this out of the realm of so much idle, imaginative speculation.
And, Reverend, I want to just switch gears for a moment now, because I think many people forget that at one point, MTV refused to play Michael Jackson's videos on the basis that it catered to rock music. But he broke that barrier, not just for himself, but for other African-American artists. And I think that some of that has been forgotten now because it's been so long ago. But I wanted to ask, what were your thoughts about him as an activist as well as an artist?
You know, I first saw Michael in his in his group, his family's group, in Gary and Ann in 1967 at Mayor Richard Hatch's inauguration. And a couple of years later, we had a big expo, cultural exposition in Chicago, and a friend, Junius Griffin, stopped by and asked the kids play at the expo. They were across the street at the Regal Theater. I said, I don't think so, because we have a very full program. We have Quincy Jones, and we have Cannonball Adderley and Nancy Wilson, Sammy Davis. We just don't have room. And so Junior said, well, at least come downstairs. The kids want to see your afro. I don't want to talk much about that. But they were downstairs in their station wagon with the U-Haul attached to it with the guitars and drums in it. And so they were so inspiring to me. I said, well, we'll let you do it the matinee on Saturday afternoon. And they did the matinee. And, of course, the expo was never the same again. I'm so glad I went downstairs. And then, of course, we were together, when they did the Victory Tour. And we were together at the downtime in Neverland. But in the meantime, Michael, they went to Motown. The impact of Barry Gordy, Ewan Abney, and Suzanne DePass, the Quincy Jones and Thriller, and Lionel Richie and We Are the World. And so he never compromised his ethnic integrity as he sought to broaden to a global audience. He was a very authentic African-American with a global view and made room for everybody in his vision.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson joined us from Chicago. He spent much of the weekend counseling and supporting the family of Michael Jackson in the wake of his tragic death Thursday. Reverend Jackson, thank you so much for speaking with us.
And thank you.